Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for your love. Lord, open up your word for us this morning and open up our hearts to receive it. May your purpose be served here today. May your will be done. May the lives of your people be touched. We need you, Lord. We, like David, seek your face. Early we will seek you in a dry and thirsty land. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title of my sermon today is, What Are You Thankful For? Our opening scripture was Luke 22, 14 through 20. I'm going to read it again. And when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourself. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. I do a Charles Sturgeon devotion every morning. I do several of them, but and this morning's just kind of seemed to fit in with what I'm talking about, or what I'm going to be talking about. He was speaking from Psalm 74:17. Thou hast made summer and winter. My soul, begin this wintry month with thy God. The cold snows and the piercing winds all remind thee that he keeps his covenant with day and night, and tend to assure thee that he will also keep that glorious covenant which he has made with thee in the person of Christ Jesus. He who is true to his word in the revolutions of the seasons of this poor, sin-polluted world will not prove unfaithful in his dealings with his own well-beloved son. Winter in the soul is by no means a comfortable season. And if it be upon thee just now, it will be very painful to thee. But there is this comfort, namely that the Lord makes it. He sends the sharp blasts of adversity to nip the buds of expectation. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes over the once verdant meadows of our joy. He casteth forth his ice like morsels freezing the streams of our delight. He does it all. He is the great winter king and rules in the realms of frost, and therefore thou cannot murmur. Losses, crosses, heaviness, sickness, poverty, and a thousand other ills are of the Lord's sending and come to us with wise design. Frosts kill noxious insects and put a bound to raging diseases. They break up the clods and sweeten the soul. Oh, that such good results would always follow our winters of affliction. How we prize the fire just now. How pleasant is its cheerful glow. Let us in the same manner prize our Lord, who is a constant source of warmth and comfort in every time of trouble. Let us draw nigh to him and in him find joy and peace in believing. Let us wrap ourselves in the warm garments of his promises and go forth to labors which befit the season. Psalm 95, 1 through 3. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise in the rock of our salvation, to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generation. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You know, that's not just the attitude we're supposed to have when we enter in. That is how we enter in, isn't it? That's what takes us there. Question. What are you thankful for? I'll start. My salvation, of course. So what are you thankful for? You say it, speak it out, and I will echo it into the microphone so it's recorded for all posterity on our little disc up there. The hope that we have. Help from above. What's that? His forgiveness. The living Savior. Health in the body. The Holy Spirit. What's that? For another day. For his guidance in our life. God's direction. That he is the winter king. What's that? For the hard times. His what? Discipline and correction. Mercy. Forgiveness of sin, him dying on the cross. A minivan. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. A changed heart. What's that? Trials and tribulations. Well, you know, we had a couple people that surprised me. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Did you notice anything in our answers, except for a few people that, anyway, almost no one, not even me, said anything about being thankful for problems, afflictions, flat tires, injury, sickness, or death of loved ones. That's a heavy one, isn't it? On April 15, 2021, my wife took 2 steps toward me and fell forward into my arms and died. How can I thank God for that? Actually, I can, and I do. Our opening scripture was from the book of Luke, chapter 22. I'm going to read part of that again, not all of it, but I'm going to start in verse 17. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took the bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. What was he giving thanks for? I can't hear you. He was able to give his life for us, but he was also willing. It says in Hebrews that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He could have called down 12 legions of angels, and from what I understand, a legion is somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000. One angel can wipe out 185,000 people. That would have taken care of everybody, wouldn't it? He could have gone down off that cross anytime he wanted. He didn't just go to the cross, he endured it. But the night before, he thanked the Father for it. For the cup, the suffering, the blood that he was going to shed. He gave thanks for that. That's what was represented here. For the broken body, he gave thanks for that. He was beaten beyond recognition. I saw a video once, and I was on a 700 Club episode. They showed this video of a man in a meat locker with a whip like the one that was used on Jesus. They took it to a side of beef, and he 40 times he hit it, or 39 times he hit it. That's in case they miscount. And that thing was just shredded. It was amazing how much damage that did. And that is what he was given thanks for. So how can I look at my problems and not want to be thankful for it? Was the cup just for him? No. Matthew 20:22-23. James and John had asked a question, and Jesus responded, "You know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They say unto him, "We are able." And he said unto them, You shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. You will. They would. Every one of them, except for John, was martyred. John they tried to kill, but God wouldn't allow it. They forced him to drink poison. He lived. They boiled him in oil. He lived. They finally put him on an island in the Isle of Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation. Jesus said, "In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." But we also have to remember before that, he said, "In me you'll have peace." No matter what we're going through, we have the peace of God. If we firmly believe that it's his will, that he's fulfilling his purpose in us. Was the cup just for them, the disciples? No, it was and still is for us as well. 2 Timothy 2:12, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." In Oregon, in the jail where I ministered, I was a chaplain there for 10 years, I used to use this wall that was in the rec room as a kind of a teaching example when people would start wondering why about things. And I would point to the wall and I said, "If you look closely, well, you see a wall. But if you look even closer, you'll see that that wall is made up of these blocks. And if you look really close, you'll see that each block is made up of little tiny fragments of stone or rock. It's all made up of something smaller." There are a lot of pieces that make up our lives, that make up the work he is doing in us. A lot of pieces. They're little details. God is really into details. If you don't believe that, read the book of Leviticus. All the little tiny details that he puts together. Little details that are all a part of his plan and his purpose for us. Romans 8:28, which was one of Linda's favorite verses. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. He's got a purpose and a plan for each one of you. He's going to put you on that potter's wheel, and he's going to stretch you, and he's going to maybe beat you a little bit to get you into shape, and he does that with us. He has a purpose for everything he allows. Isn't it nice to know that there's a reason for the things we go through, for the things he allows? God always has a reason. I have this thing I say, I have a reason for everything I do. It's not always a good reason, but I have a reason for everything I do. But God, his reasons are all good reasons, aren't they? Anyway. So that's what it's all about. The blood that he shed and the broken body. And he allowed it to happen for me. Remember, he wouldn't let you go through anything he wouldn't go through himself. And he's proved that, hasn't he? I'm going to ask Terry and Ricky to come forward and pass out the elements for communion. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night on which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread and eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Verse 28, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Examining ourselves isn't so that we'll keep from doing this. It's so that we'll get our heart right with God, and that's what we need to be doing right now. See, he wants you to do this, but he wants you to talk to him first after you've examined your heart. Ask for forgiveness. Maybe there's people that you don't get along with, or you might have ought against somebody, against your brother. So take the time, close your eyes, and just take what you find in your heart to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Maybe you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I urge you to talk to God about that too. Because it is a decision that we make, a decision between us and God. sharing. I'll try not to spill it this time. Has everybody been served? On the same night that he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this bread and what this bread represents, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the body that you offered on that cross for us, for our salvation. You may eat the bread. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blood that you shed that cleanses our sins. We thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you purchased for us. You may drink the cup. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you, Lord, for what you did on that cross 2,000 years ago. And we thank you for what you continue to do in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you rose from the grave and you're at the throne of your Father interceding for us. We thank you, Lord, that you will come back and receive your people to you. And where you are, we will always be with you. Lord, go with us today. And Lord, I just pray your blessing on your people. And I just pray, Lord, for your presence in all of our lives, Lord. And just bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everybody, for coming. That concludes our service.